You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Nordic fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 480, and we're going to talk about Nordic's matchup with Ball State coming up on Saturday. Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how is your day going, and how's your overall feeling about Notre Dame football?
It's going good, and I'm feeling pretty confident about Notre Dame football right now.
Well, you should, because Notre Dame's a huge favorite in this game, and we'll get into that, I guess, a little bit later. Randall, before we started recording the podcast, we were talking a little bit about the matchup last night, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and I didn't watch the game, but you did. What were some of the key takeaways from that matchup?
Well, in my mind, Florida, I expect to be much closer than this. Florida State, or Virginia Tech, won 24-3, and I would say Florida State is worse than I expected, and Virginia Tech is better. So it kind of went both ways, but it was, I didn't watch all the game, but there's obviously two future opponents for Notre Dame. And the most interesting stat in the game was the running back, lead running back for Florida State, Cam Akers. He had 14 carries for 82 yards, which isn't bad. It's better than what the Notre Dame guys did Saturday.
That sounds good, man. When you put it that way, that sounds pretty good.
But let me finish. 14 carries, 82 yards with a long of 85. I don't know if I've ever seen a stat like that.
Definitely not that extreme. I mean, I'm sure we've seen it where maybe there's maybe five carries and a long of 21 and a total of 19.
Yeah,
but not quite that extreme, I don't think.
So the other 13 carries all, they didn't all go for negative yards, but without that one, they would have had negative yardage. So I wonder how, it would say 14 carries for, well, did they do running back stats negative?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah. Like but that would be pretty bad. So they weren't in the negative. You just don't see that very often. But anyways.
Brankley had his press conference today, talked a little bit about the victory over Michigan, and then obviously fielded some questions and discussed Ball State as well. So let's start with some of his comments about the victory over Michigan. First off, he also addressed the slow ending to the game, and he said they need to work on having a more dominant mindset. And if we remember, that's something that Drew Tranquil brought up, or I think that's where I first heard about it, heard this dominating the opponent was last year. Midway through this, actually, no, it was right after the Georgia loss, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was, yeah, right after the Georgia loss. And from that point, you know, last year, for a large stretch of the season, Notre Dame did just that.
Yeah.
And so Brian Kelly talked about having that dominant mindset and credited that to not being quite so effective in finishing off Michigan when they did have the opportunities. He mentioned that he was pretty happy with both the offense and the defense, but did mention that special teams, they need to pay attention to detail. And we're all familiar with that. He did also clarify or made it known that Dewar would be again taking handling the kickoff duties, and I'm glad I expected it, and I'm glad to see it too. Brian Kelly said, you know, they just had to rescue him. And that they put Justin Yoon out there, but that they really, he's talented and they have confidence in him. And so it was a big stage. I do, with everything we heard coming out of camp, I think he's going to do okay. I think he's going to do well.
Yeah, the only downside is that he did kick last year. This wasn't his first time kicking. So, but he gets another chance this weekend, so it's not like he's.
But even Tyler Newsom also struggles with inconsistency.
I would still like to know what their strategy was, because we heard Pullian talk about before the season started, you know, that they'd want to try to kick it, you know, inside the 5 yard line to try to make teams decide whether they're bringing it out or whether they're going to call fair catch or try to bring it out and it was kind of a strategy, and he said they would go week to week, you know, opponent based. But I'd want to know what they were doing in the first part of the game, because there was, after that kick, Brian Kelly went over to Brian Pullian on the sideline and said something to him. It was very clear. Was that when you tweeted out about the red faced Brian Kelly?
No, that was during the Michigan timeout, where they weren't charged a timeout, but the there was a serious delay of game due to the refs not.
So were you talking about Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, yeah. I wasn't watching. I didn't see that since I was at the game. But when I rewatched the game, I saw Brian Pullian get very upset, and I thought maybe that's what you're talking about, since he does kind of resemble. I mean, he could.
Yeah, they do kind of have a similar shape and.
Well, anyways. Color. They had a conversation, and after that is when Yoon came out and was just kicking it through the end zone. So I don't know if they – I'd want to know if Jonathan Duerr actually was supposed to try to kick it out of the end zone, or if that was their strategy. We know it wasn't supposed to go down the middle, and it was pretty low.
It was a – yeah.
But so I'd want to know what their strategy was.
I think
he can kick it out of the end zone is my thing. That's what I'm trying to say. I think he can kick it out of the end zone.
I think the strategy is to kick it high and kick it at about, you know, the 5 yard line to make, and also in the corner, because typically that's usually where they usually go, pretty close to the sideline.
Yeah.
And just so that Notre Dame has a better, the kickoff team has a better chance at zoning in on where the ball's going and where it, limiting where it can go. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the injury updates. Brian Kelly also mentioned that they definitely would probably try to get Myron back and allow him to play three more games, and so therefore maintain or saving his red shirt, because he will be out for around 10 weeks.
That's one advantage with this rule, is that you can use it for other players, you know, that have already been there and still get them. This is a perfect example. It works out perfect to use that four-game redshirt rule.
And then we received an update that Shane Steinman will be cross-training at both Buck and Rover, and probably a better chance of getting him on the field. What do you think, Randall?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're doing with that, because it seemed like he had a chance as a backup, you know, with the for the Rover position, especially with Crawford, which Crawford would be the nickel, but the Rover's who comes off the field. Thought maybe Shane could get in there, but right now he's listed as the third string Buck behind Tranquil and Jordan Ganmark Heath. So Brian Kelly said he would see the field this year, but he's working at both Buck and Rover. So maybe that's an opportunity to get him on, if he's at two different positions, bigger chance getting him out on the field.
All right. Are you ready to talk about Ball State?
Just with the special teams, Brian Kelly mentioned John Shannon, the forgotten long snapper, which means he's doing a good job, but Brian Kelly said he's doing a darn good job. So I think he did mention him because, like I said, when they're doing good, you don't hear their name, you don't even know who they are. But John Shannon is the long snapper, and he's doing a good job at it. And Brian Kelly also talked about Ade Ogundiji, and we saw what he can do. He was getting pressure. He knocked down a pass. He looked very good. And Brian Kelly said he's starting to scratch the surface. So they think he still has a lot of football ahead of him. As far as football, his knowledge of football is what they need to work on him, just his playing the game. It's not the physical part of it, but just football itself. And then he also mentioned defensive end Justin Adamolola is close to breaking into the lineup, which is a little surprising because we have a pretty good lineup at defensive end. Obviously, his twin brother Jason played a little bit on Saturday, but it looks like Justin has a good chance of doing that as well. But as far as these guys' red shirts, Brian Kelly said he does have a chart as to when they want to play these guys or how they want to do it. So we'll see if it – well, we'll never know if it actually plays out according to their chart. But I would say there's a good chance of seeing more of those guys this weekend.
I think you're right. And speaking of this weekend, Notre Dame is a 34.5-point favorite. That's a lot more than I expected. I expected closer to probably a 22.5-point favorite, you know, just over three touchdowns. And that's a lot of points to put up and cover, 34.5 points, five touchdowns.
It is. It's been a long time since Notre Dame has been favored by that much. But if you start looking at the scores of Ball State in the past, and you understand a little bit why where they're coming from.
Now, Brian Kelly even mentioned that, you know, this team underperformed last year because of the injuries that they suffered.
Yeah.
And that this is, he said, you can't really look at last year to get an eye, you know, for a good barometer. And Ball State, I remember it wasn't that long ago that Ball State was going to a bowl game and was ranked in the top 25, and Notre Dame was not going to a bowl game. I remember, I think we were in Arizona, maybe. Our grandparents live out there, and I think we saw the Ball State, the bus or the team at a mall maybe or somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
So, but things are different now. Yeah. I mean, Notre Dame is back to where they should be, and Ball State is closer, you know, to where a MAC school deserves to be. But go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, as far as their injuries, I mean, their starting quarterback, Riley Neal, who Brian Kelly mentioned is a potential NFL guy. He compared him to Tony Pike, who he coached at Cincinnati. He was out for the season last year in the third game. And then also their running back, James Gilbert, was out in the third game as well. It sounds like that third game was pretty took a big toll on their team, which that was against Tennessee Tech. But they were the first four games. Well, the first three games they were 2-1, but they lost 9 straight to end the season. So, they did not have a good year last year. They allowed at least 30 plus yard plays per game. And
say that again. They allowed what?
At least 3 plays of 30 plus yards per game. The average score for those game for the games last year or the last 8 games or 9 games was 47-13 is what the average score was for them with them losing. So you can see why there's a point spread, which that is, that's what is the spread?
34.5 points.
Yeah. That is 34 points. So maybe that's where they got their 34 points.
I think there's more to it than that.
No, it's that simple. We just figured out the formula.
Okay. We're going to Vegas. This is an opponent that Notre Dame is going to defeat, quite clearly. Do you appreciate Brian Kelly's stand on calling this opponent another nameless, faceless opponent? And he said it kind of when he was asked, you know, how's this team? Actually, I forget what the question was, but he was talking about how to make your team consistent and keep on improving and keep on playing hard when it is an opponent that isn't a big time school like a Michigan or a USC or Stanford. And he just said, well, he talked about Notre Dame is more focused on themselves than their opponent. And Brian Kelly's been criticized, and I think Charlie Weiss was criticized as well, as far as just saying, it's just another week, regardless if it is Ball State or if it's Michigan, just saying, it's just another opponent. Doesn't matter who we play. I think Brian Kelly, Randall, do you think Brian Kelly's philosophy is right? Is this the right approach to take?
Yes and no. I'm fine with it, but then at the same time, I don't want him to say that when it's a rivalry game. I'm fine until it's a Michigan, a USC, a Stanford, which a lot of Notre Dame's games are rivalries. They play them every year. That's the one thing. If it's just, I agree with Ball State, Vanderbilt, you know, these teams, you know, Wake Forest, they're not rivalries. I agree with that. I think it's good, you know, it's Ball State, don't relax, you know, just it's just another opponent, just treat it like every other week. But I do think that when it comes to the Michigans, the USCs, the Stanfords, that they can't look at it like that. They need to put a face on it. And put an angry face on it to get them fired up.
I agree with you. I think Brian Kelly needs to be preaching. Every week is about improvement. And it doesn't matter who we play. Every week we've got to play our best. But then when it comes to game week, to make sure that the players understand, hey, this week it is different. This is Michigan or whoever it might be.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is just coach speak. And again, as long as Notre Dame keeps on winning, Brian Kelly is doing all the right things. But as soon as they start losing, he's doing all the wrong things. Defensively, we talked a little bit about offensively, and let's keep on going offensively for Ball State. They do have weapons at wide receiver, and they put up a ton of points in their opener. Granted, it wasn't against, you know, someone super tough. It was against Central Connecticut Blue Devils, a spinoff of Duke, the way it appears. And they defeated him 42-6. So, yes, this wasn't a Power 5 school that Ball State beat up on, but they still are able to put up numbers and points when they are healthy.
Well, yeah. I mean, their quarterback, Riley Neal, he was hurt last year, but he put up a lot of yards the year before. So he's a very good quarterback. And then their two running backs are very good as well. Let me get the name. Make sure I got the name right here. James Gilbert is the other running back that was hurt last year. But in 2016, he rushed for 1,300 yards. And then their second running back, Caleb Huntley, rushed for just over 1,000 yards last year. So technically, they got 2,000-yard backs on there. They got a quarterback that can throw the ball. Their lead receiver is actually their slot receiver, Justin Hall. Last year, he had 78 receptions for 801 yards. So offensively, they have some weapons. But yeah, when you get the defense side, they struggle a little bit. So, but and they did lose some guys on the line, so that's a question for them. But as far as, you know, weapons, they do have some.
Defensively, they're switching things up. They have a new defense in place, a 3-4 defense, and so it will be different than what, you know, than what if someone was used to watching them last year. It will be different than that. However, this defense is just—it's not going to be good. I mean, this is the kind of game where Notre Dame can go Navy and just run all over this defense and put the game away.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will mix it up.
As let's say against Michigan, Notre Dame's offense looked like they didn't do that well because of the good defense. Against this team, they'll look much better than what they are.
Yeah,
I mean, they're good, but their stats will be inflated.
Is there anyone on defense that you do want to highlight?
No, I don't really have much on the defensive line. I am planning to do an interview with one of the guys that covers their team tomorrow, so we'll release that later this week. But that was, you know, some guys to watch for on defense, and see what they can do.
This game is very different than a tough matchup like Michigan. So when it comes down to this kind of game, this isn't going to be a game where we say, you know, it's going to come down to how well Notre Dame's able to establish the line of scrimmage, because while of course that needs to happen, it is going to happen against Ball State.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit difficult to say, even it's hard even to predict how this game's going to go.
Well, it's almost like Michigan, I bring up Michigan again, but it's almost like Michigan last time Notre Dame played them. I remember, I forget who they played, but they won the week before. It was like 55-0, I think. And they were hyped. Everybody thought it was so great. Well, they come into Notre Dame and get shut out. So I think you'll see the same kind of difference. What I'm saying is I think you'll see it's hard. You won't see that difference, but it's hard to tell. I mean, you went against a very tough defense, and we thought it could go either way. Obviously, it turned out much better than we thought. But here, once again, it's a complete unknown because it's a completely different style of opponent, and Notre Dame is not used to playing MAC teams. They have been a little more in the past years. But
usually once or twice a year, Randall, there's a MAC equivalent.
Just in the last few years. But by the way, Ball State is getting paid $1.1 million to play this game. I almost didn't want to bring that up because I always like to bring that up against other teams when Alabama is playing a no-namer the first week and how much they get paid. But I did read an article where how much these schools get paid. And let's say they make good money there's one school that next year I think will make close to $10 million from playing.
Whoa.
Different schools. I think they're playing. After it was in 2 years, I think maybe next year it's like 8, and then it goes up to 10 because they're playing a couple SEC teams, and they're playing big school, and they're getting paid serious money. So there's a lot of money in this. So, anyways.
So there's not going to be a whole lot of keys for the game, I don't think. But, Randall, what do you expect to happen in this matchup, and what do you want to see Notre Dame work on?
Well, I want them to work on some things offensively. I think even though it's not the same type of defense, I think just scoring some points will help boost the confidence of this team, of the offense, knowing they can do it. I think, you know, guys like Jafar Armstrong, Tony Jones, I'm hoping to see them get some big plays so that they know they can do it. And we saw them grind it out and get, you know, Jafar got 2 touchdowns in his first game. Very impressive, but I want to see him break off a long run. Just see how he looks doing that so that we can see it, and it'll give him confidence knowing he can do that to any team. And just even with the receivers, you know, there's a lot of questions with the receivers. Just let them get rack up the yards and boost their confidence and get some game time under their belt, and so that they're ready to go against the next big opponent. And I'm trying to decide as far as how deep they should go in their on the depth chart, because I hate doing it too much, because the guy I'd rather have this being a game where the guys get experience versus trying to get the guys their one game for their redshirt year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, especially with quarterback. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily want to see Dracovic out there. Honestly, I don't. I'd want to see if he can do something. But
it depends where he's at in his development. I mean, if he's pretty far along, and if Notre Dame's up big, then sure, get him out there. But if he's not far along, then give him some more time, because I'd rather see a little more polished and Dracovic that is ready as a freshman to come out than one that is going to go out there and hand the ball off 8 times and throw one little slant route.
Exactly. I think, and I don't want to take away reps from Book, because pretty much what it comes down to, 2 quarterbacks are going to have to be hurt before Dracovic gets into the game.
Yeah.
And so what's the point of just getting Dracovic some playing time just for the sake of playing time?
And Notre Dame, they need to win this year, because they're going to take a step back next year. And I kind of thought it was going to happen this year with the
wrong
offense.
You'd be wrong again.
No, they're going to take it because they're going to lose so much on defense.
Let's not even talk about that.
I want to win this year. And to win this year,
well, yeah.
Get as much out of, forget about, or don't put as much of emphasis on Dracovic and put emphasis on winning this year. I think that's where Brian Kelly's at. He wants to win, put himself in the best position to win every single game at that time. And not as much worried about the upcoming season.
Yeah, but that will be something to watch, especially the quarterbacks. You'll be able to see how far down the depth chart they're willing to go to get these guys some game experience. Because, you know, at the same time, you know, if Dracovic, you know, there's a good chance that he'll be competing for the starting job next year. So, you know, you can still say he played in 1 game last year. You know, versus coming out against week 1 opponent who I'd have to go look. But anyways, I'm just going back and forth about how many guys I actually want to see out there.
Well, I want to see guys that can't. I want to see the backups of the guys who can't be lost. And while Wimbush is definitely one of those
Shane
guys.
Shane Simon, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, well, like Jordan Genmark-Heath, guys like that.
Well, Tillery, like the starters that can't be lost, like Tillery, Coney, Tranquil, and Brandon Wimbush is there too. But bring in Ian Book for a quarter. But those are the guys that, let's not put more wear and tear on those key guys that need to be healthy for an entire season. That's where I hope that we see some of those either backups or freshmen coming in at those positions.
Oh, I totally agree. I think some of the guys need to get healthy. I mean, especially on the offensive line, Robert Hainsey's one of them. And just some of the other guys that were maybe banged up a little bit. Just there's no reason to push those guys and get them to play, you know, half the game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people look at this as, oh, this is the one game where the red shirt rule is, you know, you're going to see all these guys, basically a freshman team out there getting their one of their four games in. I don't want to see that.
It might be too early in the year because depending how it goes.
Well, that's maybe exactly. Maybe if this was close to the end of the year, like Alabama likes to do where all their players can rest up for the last couple games of the season, then I could see some of that where you use it to let your starters and main guys heal,
mm-hmm.
which I think Alabama's very smart in doing that. That's part of the reason that they can still perform the way they do in November versus Notre Dame's issues because Alabama's playing a Ball State in November. But
I think Notre Dame is going to have their way when it comes offensively. They're going to have their way. Defensively, I think there's going to be a couple struggles here and there, and they're going to be tested for sure. I think
Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Okay.
Defensively, I think Ball State is going to put up some points. I don't think they're going to.
Even though Michigan, their offense only scored 10 points.
Yeah, but their offense was just average at best. Their offensive line was not good, and they were able to get incredible pressure on Patterson. So my score prediction for this game is going to be Notre Dame winning it big, but not covering the spread. I think the final score is going to be 45-24, and I think a touchdown or two are going to be in the fourth quarter when Notre Dame does have a few more of the backups in there. So I think there's going to be a couple garbage touchdowns or a garbage touchdown and field goal to make that a little bit closer than what the game actually was.
Yeah. I think there will be some more points scored. Like I was using the Michigan example. I don't think that works because I think there'll be more garbage points because they'll be playing against backups.
Yeah.
But my prediction, Ball State won't be able to do a whole lot against Notre Dame's defense. Notre Dame will have some huge plays on offense, those big gains. And I am going with 56-10.
I think that Ball State will be able to score 17 points.
No.
17 points, Randall, while this is still a game.
What?
Well, not a game, but I'm saying...
Before all the backups come in.
Before they clearly bring in all the backups. So I think they'll have 17 points by the end of the third quarter.
Okay.
And maybe I should have went 14, but I'll stick with 17.
Okay.
All right, of course, send in your score prediction for this matchup. Someone at work was pretty upset and disappointed. I picked Michigan last week, and...
They should have been.
I was right on Lee Corso. Lee Corso picked the average. I'm so glad I was wrong, of course. And you can tweet out your score prediction or send it on Instagram. And if you win, if you're the closest person to predicting the score, you will receive 1 pound of coffee... and one Irish Sports Talk mug. The pound of coffee is from our sponsor, Main Street Roasters. You can get fresh roasted coffee anytime by visiting mainstreetroasters.com. My favorite is the regular. I'm not a flavored kind of coffee. I like regular coffee. And my favorite coffee from Main Street is their Colombian coffee. It's a single origin Colombian. I forget what the full name is. But they're... Single origin Colombian coffee is my favorite.
No, definitely go with the blend from El Salvador. And
that's not a blend, but that is very good.
Yeah. I really like that. It's the best tasting coffee they have. I don't like the flavored stuff either. But to top it off, some of the money actually goes to an orphanage. There's an orphanage in El Salvador that raises the coffee beans, and so some of the money actually does go to them. But that's not why I like it. It's just, even without knowing that, it's the best coffee they got.
It is really good coffee. It's very smooth. The Colombian is a little bit stronger, a little bit harsher. So, all right, so there you have it. Make sure to reply to our tweet where Main Street is tagged for your chance to win.
I will just say this. actually go on their social media and check out their edition. I spent quite a bit of time there working on their edition this summer, and go check it out. It's kind of that new modern, and it took a lot of work, but I think it looks pretty good.
If you're in the northern Indiana area and you're cruising through Napanee, check it out. It really is a very spacious coffee shop. It's got a cozy feel, and they have fast internet unless it's packed. If it's packed, the internet's not super, super fast. But typically, you know, when you're just there on a normal evening or normal day, the internet's very fast. Atmosphere is great. You can usually find a little corner to get away and spend some time on your laptop or reading. And, of course, that's MainStreetRoasters.com. And it's in Napanee, Indiana. Oh, and I should mention, the winners will only be chosen if you're in the continental U.S. We can't ship outside of the U.S. So, that's all we've got, or that's all I've got, Randall. Anything more from you?
I think that's it.
All right. Remember, you can check out the forums if you want to talk Notre Dame football over there. It's free, forums.irishsportstalk.net. Thank you guys for listening, for downloading. Share it with your friend if you have friends that are Notre Dame football fans. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.